Scene 3. Damien Green, and I shall use my words with discretion here because we are all ages in this congregation. Damien Green may or may not have done what he is alleged to have done. If he did it, then it's wrong in various ways. It simply is wrong. But that's a kind of behaviour that I think must be treated with enormous compassion and gentleness because it is so extraordinarily widespread in our society. We know from what the search engines will freely tell us about the most commonly searched terms on the internet just how widespread that sort of behaviour is. And any priest who hears confessions, as I do, also knows how widespread it is. And that's a behaviour that has become so prevalent precisely because the internet has made it all so easy to get at. It's so freely and abundantly there that no wonder enormous numbers, really enormous numbers of people, are drawn to it as flames to a candle, as moths to a candle. It's a behaviour that tends to dehumanise, inevitably, both the viewer and the performer. And it's a powerful way in which new technology promotes the diminution, the thinning out of human value. So we've got whatever Damien Green might or might not have done. We've got my professorial friend giving up early. We've got the closures of the banks. It's part of a larger picture in which technology thins human interaction. The Pope between the 1830s and 1840s was a man called Gregory the 16th, and he's gone down in history as the very type of an obscurantist cleric, because he wouldn't allow any railways to be built in the Papal States. The 1830s, the 1840s, of course, the great period of railway building in Europe. So you could catch a train as far as Bologna, which was where the Papal State began. Then you had to get out. You had to get into a horse-drawn carriage. And once you reached the boundary of the Kingdom of Naples, you could get out of your horse-drawn carriage and get on one of King Ferdinand's nice new trains. And Gregory the 16th was much mocked for this. He called railways not chemin de fer, but chemin d'enfer, the roads of hell. Well, just think for a moment. What is one of the most famous images of a railway track that has ever been photographed and published? It's the tracks leading up to the gates of Auschwitz. Gregory could, I think, rather foresightedly see that this was a technology that human beings would put to very wicked uses, in the way that I'm afraid we human beings put almost any technology to very wicked uses, as well as to very good ones. Of course, Gregory was being Canute-like. That's the problem with the technology. It appears irresistible. It's as irresistible as the tide. What on earth can we small people do in the face of its relentless onward march and the terrible negative consequences that actually flow from it for our shared humanity? Well, the problem may be a very large one, and how I wish that our legislators would occasionally lift their eyes from questions of what would be a good Brexit deal and how do we get one and how do we run the economy well and deal with some of these enormous questions that confront our society and that touch our futures so strongly. But in the meantime, what can we do? One thing we can do is resolve deliberately to try to make use of possibilities of human interaction that are there. Use the library and the high street. You may not want any of the books there, but use it. Go in and talk to the people there and borrow a book occasionally so that the statistics of use go up, and that helps to strengthen the case for keeping the library open. I used to top up my Oyster cards with a human being as long as I was able to do so. Sadly, now I can't. So use the possibilities that are there. Go into the post office. Insist on buying out-of-the-way sorts of stamps rather than the regular kind so that you can have a little bit of conversation with the person about what sort of stamps you want. Use the little opportunities that you've got, first thing. The second thing is to pray for people. Pray for people that you love and care for. Pray for people that you find difficult. Pray for people that you find really, really difficult. Pray for people, because in the act of bringing people before God in prayer, coming before God with people on your heart, you enrich and deepen your own humanity as well as theirs, because you are better able to see them in their humanity. And if you do know of anyone who has a problem about doing what Damon Green is alleged to have done, a good piece of advice to give them is that they should try to pray for the people that they're seeing on the screen in front of them. Because if you start praying, it's remarkably hard to carry on watching in the way that you might have been. So pray for people, because it enriches your humanity as well as respects theirs. And third, well, what can we together do together? We can try to be a community in this place where we take one another's humanity very, very seriously, where we see one another as proper human beings. When I eventually come to look back on my time here, eventually and in the future, this distantish future, come to look back on my time here, I don't think I will be ashamed of the times when I was late getting in the statistics to the diocesan office that they keep asking for more and more of every year. What I will be ashamed of are the times when I wasn't able to respond to one of you as I ought to have done, because I was too busy collating the statistics for the diocesan office. We have to have a conscious effort to recenter ourselves, not on the accomplishment of tasks, but on seeing one another and dealing one another and loving one another in our humanity. And that's a way in which we prepare for the thing that is in the center of our liturgy today, the coming of the glorious human being, the glorified Christ, when he comes in triumph, not as an idea, not as a system, but as a person, to whom with his Father and with the Spirit be glory, now and always. Amen.